Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Well, welcome on board. On the Mark, I'm Joe McGranahan, but Mark Lawrence is definitely not here today. Somebody much better looking and much more intelligent than Mark. Oh. There, I said it. Carrie Albright is with us this morning. Carrie, great to have you on board.
Thank you, Joe.
And we're going to talk about a lot of different things and remind you first that our producer is Lynn Hall. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number is 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, including the keyword at the beginning, OTM, so your message will get through to us. The program is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, where they sell Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles, and they're a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks. They have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles, and they're a master towing service with decades of experience. You can check them out on the web at www.sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials or build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. And while you're at it, be sure to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, and nitrogen for tires, and they are open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, servicing more customers from 4th Street and Sunbury and Routes 11 and 15 and Hummel's Wharf since 1915. And Carrie, good morning. Good to have you on board this morning.
Thank you, Joe. Good morning to you.
We've talked a little bit before we went on the air about an issue that came up in St. Louis County, Missouri, which I found interesting. Parents there are fuming after their kids were turned away from their 8th grade graduation ceremony. Parents said they brought their dressed-up kids to the ceremony to commemorate them graduating from Westview Middle School and going on to high school. However, they say that when they got to the door, they were told they couldn't come in, while other students were allowed to pass. One of the parents said she didn't like that at all. This is a moment that they have to remember. We have four graduations, kindergarten, 8th grade, high school, and college. She said, why rob them of that privilege? However, the school district has a different take. They say they handed students and parents a list of no-nos, like poor attendance, fighting, and other misdeeds that kept students from being able to attend the promotional ceremony. The superintendent said students and kids were updated as they went along and should have known whether or not they could attend. What do you think?
Well, I think the piece missing from the article that for me was that were these kids already punished? Did they already pay penance for being late, being disruptive in class? Because if they did, they should be allowed to attend this graduation. But if they didn't, maybe this is the penalty for their behavior. So, I mean, that, you know, you and I talked briefly about that. But, you know, was there detention or was there some other thing? Because them not being able to participate in this instance was no surprise to either the kid or the parent. But you know, what happened before then. So I'm just wondering about that.
But even if they did receive a certain amount of punishment beforehand, if they were told that you will not be allowed to walk across the stage if you have so many violations, and I gather it was cumulative. I mean, this to me is kind of like a participation medal. You know what the rules were. You've been told if you violate them, you won't be able to do this. But then you get to the day when it happens and you expect the school district to bend over and say, oh, well, go ahead, even though you had the you didn't have all you knew what the consequences were, you went ahead and did what you did.
I think this is a milestone thing, though, for a kid. If you're going to have, the school's going to have a high school or graduation or promotion ceremony, as they call it, onto high school, then the kid should be allowed to celebrate if they're going to go on to high school. They should be allowed to walk. I would hope that the school district would not dangle this as the only penalty for behavior problems or attendance problems, but because they should be dealing with those all the way along and not just throwing down the gauntlet on the gauntlet on this one event.
Well, the school district issued this statement, which I think is interesting. While we understand that this may have been a disappointment to the parents, it is important that all scholars meet the attendance, tardiness, academic, and discipline requirements set in school and district policy. We believe that our staff was courteous and respectful to all comers. We also cannot corroborate the claims of any eligible students being turned away at the door. However, we look forward to working with our scholars, parents, staff, and community to help all students meet the academic, behavioral, and attendance requirements for future events.
Yeah, is this about the parents? I'm still involved with some early learning childhood stuff through United Way. Sarah Laver from our United Way days. And I'm just wondering if, I made a comment about sometimes the parents are more upset or part of the problem or the problem more than the kids, I don't know. Were parents being obstinate? Were they trying to show up and make a point, prove a point with their kid as a pawn in the whole thing? You know, who knows what? But, if I were a parent and I were given a notice that my kid was not eligible to walk, regardless of the reasons, I would not have shown up.
I agree with you.
I mean, that's just putting your kid in an uncomfortable place, it seems to me that, I made a comment the other day on the phone with little kids misbehaving in school. And one of the people on the phone call said that some little kids, young kids need medication to be able to behave. I'm not sure.
How early?
I know, like 2, 3, 4.
That's a little early.
I didn't make a comment then. I don't know enough about the subject to say that these kids need to be medicated to behave. I said, maybe is it the parents that are part of the problem? And the comment was, no, the parents aren't always the problem. But in this case, if you're showing up to an event that your kid was told you can't be at, don't show up. Don't model that behavior for your kid, because it's just teaching them rules don't matter. Fight the foundation. Fight the root cause of the rule. Make sure your kid's punished all the way along. Was your kid punished? What were you aware of the behavior problems? Help support the school in taking care of it. But don't show up just to prove a point.
But the difference between kids today and kids when I was growing up. Now, admittedly, I'm far older than you are, so what I'm going back to is the dark ages in terms of education. But our teachers were allowed to use corporal punishment. If I misbehaved, I would get a ruler smacked across my knuckles, or I would meet the Board of Education in the principal's office.
Joe, my teachers could smack you on the back, the rear end, too. I think I might have just been one of the last. Yeah, I remember in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I remember the kids who got, not only put in dark closets and desks, but also, spanked.
Right.
We know that spanking does not deter behavior, just like prison doesn't deter behavior.
How do we know that?
Lots of stuff.
I got spanked, and I don't thought my behavior changed. It modified my behavior when I got spanked.
I don't think, it's been proven not to, and I don't have the research here. I mean, we can look it up on a break, but being spanked is not, it instills fear in kids. Negative punishment like that doesn't necessarily change behavior. Shame can change behavior. Being shown the right thing to do can change behavior.
But then you could make the logical argument then that there's no point, we should just execute criminals because there's not going to be any behavioral change from locking them up in prison.
I don't believe in corporal punishment anyway. I don't believe in capital punishment. I don't believe in killing anybody.
Well, I'm talking about putting people in jail even. In other words, if punishment doesn't modify behavior...
Jail's not supposed to modify behavior. Jail's supposed to protect society. There is nothing going on in jails that's helping to modify behavior.
Well, it's supposed to. We're supposed to be rehabilitating these people.
No, we're not. I was involved with the Northumberland County Prison for a long time.
As an inmate, I assume.
No, I had a book club, though, and there was not anything going on in there to modify behavior. Some people were allowed to get out and work, but that were mostly men. You had to have a job before you went in. But there were no rehabilitative programs in prison. I think there are some more things going on at the state level. I think Muncie has some things for women, but I don't know much about the men's side.
But what about kids today?
I know.
If we can't get them to behave in school, if the teachers can't demand... And I mean demand that the kids behave. How can there be a learning environment? I know when
Can you imagine being a teacher these days?
No, not really.
No.
And that's what I studied. I wanted to be a history teacher. Never made it that far.
Thank God.
Stayed out of that. I don't think I'd be very, very good at it today, to be honest with you. But I look at kids today and I say, all right, when I went to school, you were actually afraid of your teachers.
I would say reverence. Respect, reverence, kind of a distance. You know, there was a I think there was a, you look up to your teachers. You looked
admire
up to your
some
teachers.
Of them, you did.
Yeah.
Some of them I thought were not very nice people,
right,
but on
right.
the other hand, there were a couple. I had one who was actually my mentor, and he helped me all through school.
Yeah.
But I look at the demands that they made on us. They wanted us to learn, and to do that, they had to have order.
Yeah.
If you can't have order in the classroom. But they grouped us back then according to our ability to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was right or perceived, it doesn't matter. That's the way they grouped us. And I remember I started out in 10-7, which was like the lowest academic class in my high school. Then I thought, man, I don't want to be down here. So I worked real hard, and I got to 11-3 and then to 12-2.
Yeah, but why do you work hard? You probably had parents that promoted that encouraged you to work hard and that instilled the values of hard work in you and the results the outcomes that could come of hard work. So not all kids have that. So and not all kids, you know, come to school with the same experiences. And that's what I'm saying. What happens in the home is foundational to behavior for children, in my opinion. And you know, I don't know enough about really misbehaving kids, bad kids, quote unquote, coming from good families. I don't know a lot of those, but I do know a lot of real kids that struggle do come from families that struggle. And so, you know, I think that, you know, this is part of it. I said, if you're a parent bold enough to show up at an event and get your child ready and out the door and up to that, and then be rejected, that's putting your kid through something to prove your own point. And that's what I don't understand about this.
Right, but it's doing the same thing. When I went to school, if I came home and said the teacher or teacher sent a note home saying I misbehaved or something was bad, I got punished mm-hmm. both in school and at home.
Uh-huh.
Today, too many parents take the kid's side and say, why do you send my little Johnny
that's
a note
my
home
point.
From?
Yeah. That's my point. I think parents are part of the problem. And, you know, and so I just feel like, again, if I think that the schools have a lot of responsibility these days to kind of correct behavior and support families, and I think they do the best they can. But I don't necessarily agree with this rule. I do believe that if the kid had detention or in some way, you know, punished for their behavior or their attendance issues, then that's enough.
Okay.
They should be allowed to attend the promotion ceremony.
What should teachers be allowed to do? Or what should school districts be allowed to do to maintain order in the classroom? If we can both agree that order in the classroom is a prerequisite to learning.
Separate the kids that are behaving poorly and get them the help they need, because there's something else going on.
How do we separate them? Where do we put them?
Put them in whether it's a long-term separation or short-term, I don't know, because I don't know how most schools are structured and what you're allowed to do. But I do know in your home, when your kid's misbehaving, they go to timeout, or they go to their bedroom, or they go somewhere else, or they don't participate in family dinner, or they don't participate in going to Knoebels Grove. So, you know, so what you could do is you kind of remove them from the situation so they have time to think. And now if kid's really troubled, they need help. They need, you know, guidance and therapy. But
what if I said to a kid, okay, here are your choices. You can't go to Knoebels Grove because you misbehaved, or I'm going to smack you in the butt one time. Your choice.
Oh, no. No.
You know, why not? Let the kid pick the punishment.
No. Because, well, first of all, if you're talking about, like, well, in families, that's... Ugh. But in school, you know, not everybody has the same touch or strength. Like, that's why punishment in school, like physical punishment, does not work. First of all, it's not your child to hit, and you'll have a different strength than I. Maybe you'll smack him with a, you know, a paddle or something, but you have more strength. I have less strength, so it's not even. It's not even, and it's physical. It's violence. It's teaching kids violence.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break for a commercial break. We invite your comments on this topic. 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We'll be right back with more of On the Mark.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Is your summer staffing situation significantly scarce? Then you need Indeed. Their powerful all-in-one hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Want to find your next great hire? Visit Indeed.com/credits.
This is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell, Dads. This Father's Day, Cordell & Cordell celebrates you the entire month of June. Join us every Friday for our live webinar series, Father's Fridays. There you'll receive much useful information from our panel of speakers. To register, go to CordellCordell.com/Father's Day.
Offices in Philadelphia, Radnor, and Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Michelle Ferrari, licensed in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Joseph Cordell, licensed in Missouri and Illinois only. Online at CordellCordell.com.
The Dell Technologies Summer Sale event starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs with Windows 11 Pro. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on essential accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Offered to business customers by WebBank, who determines qualifications for and terms of credit.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The great Ala Abdelnaby. It always helps when you can have a third, and it doesn't really matter who it is. Just having a third helps.
How well can they play in the quote-unquote supporting role moving forward, I think goes a long way to how far the Sixers go. Doesn't have to happen all at the same time, but you've got to have the other guys step up. It's absolutely imperative.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Kenny Albert of TNT on the Stanley Cup Final today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Carrie Albright. Lynn Hall's our producer, and one of our emailers says, Joe, how often did you spank your son? Daily, weekly, monthly, or rarely? Truth be told, I never spanked him, but as I admitted to Carrie, and my son will tell you, I was an arm pincher. And, you know, come along, Michael, if that's what it took. But I never spanked him. So, there. Joseph, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. Listen to your program here this morning. Quite interesting. We used to have Bible studies in the homes. We go to different homes, you know, and this one parent, he had three children, and they were a couple of teenagers and one about 12, something like that. And the younger one was always getting up, going to the bathroom, and just a restless boy. And he was a problem boy, really. And then his dad, after a while, he'd really holler at him instead of correcting him. And then the first time, he'd let things go. Then he'd go to the extreme. Anyway, long story short here, I want you to sit on that chair right now, and don't you get off of that chair. And so I watch him, what's happening. And his father gets tied up in things and isn't paying attention to the boy. And I'm watching the boy, and after about 5 minutes, he didn't get off the chair, but he started to slide down off the chair on the floor, leaning his back against the chair. And his father didn't catch that. And I said to his father, I thought you told him to stay on the chair. Well, then he hollers at him. Anyway, this boy, he was a bad boy. I mean, he was just into things. He was a smart kid. He knew how to work the system, okay? And in school, he got in trouble. I think he lit a fire or did something and did some other things. I don't want to go into that. Anyway, they put him in this upper state college, Penn State. They took him up there, and this is playing right into what the boy wanted. He didn't want to be in school. And they had this special program where they were out in the woods, and they had psychiatrists there, and it cost us taxpayers a lot of money for this program. He stayed up there, and it didn't do a thing for him. Anyway, we were at his house for a Bible study later on, sometime later, and he come up to me, this boy, and he said, look what I got. He said he got one of these electric trucks, you know, he run with a battery and a remote thing. I said, where'd you get that? Oh, he said, the psychiatrist gave it to me where he's going to see, you know what I mean? And I said to his father, I said, are you allowing him to have that? This boy has a discipline problem, and he brings that. He's being rewarded in front of your other children that are good, and you allow him to have that? Well, then his father came, take it back. But when you're disciplining children, you must be constant with them. I mean, when you say something, you must mean it and follow through with it. And as far as the lady on your program, I forgot what her name was there.
Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie. You said you're not in favor of killing people. Well, neither am I. But what about these people that killed people, innocent people, pillaged and raped people and murdered them and brutally accosted them? What about the poor victims? And if they get out again, and which now you see this lax system that we have, where they're allowing these criminals, just like in New York there with this black guy that got choked, 40-some felonies, I guess, assaults, and pretty soon he's going to kill somebody if he wasn't killed himself. And so, you know, he reaped his reward, really. And it was a good thing he's out of society now.
Joe.
But he did not. Now he can't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And if you show him, you know, I believe in showing mercy, but 40-some times,
Joseph,
that guy needed help,
if you call,
the government didn't give him help, they should have locked him up.
Joseph.
Yes.
If you call yourself a Christian, then you follow Jesus Christ, and the bottom line is Jesus Christ would not kill anyone. That is the bottom line.
Whoa. You must read your Bible, young lady.
I have read my Bible
Acts,
back front to back.
There was two people that were killed. They were Christians.
Would Jesus,
and
did
lied,
Jesus kill
they
them?
They were killed.
Did Jesus kill them?
It was the spirit that killed them.
Nope, that's what I'm saying. If you follow Jesus, Jesus...
When he comes back, the slaves are going to be from one end of the earth to the other.
They're
going to destroy them all the sinners.
There are crimes committed against people that are more damaging than murder, like being sexually abused. You have to live with that.
Yeah, I understand. But what I'm saying, in the Bible, he says, now that's his word, that a life for a life. Even the New Testament says that. Romans chapter 1,
right.
Read it, the
killing's
last couple verses.
Right.
Anyone that commits such crimes as homosexuality or covetousness,
Joseph.
All list of them there. They're worthy of death.
Okay.
That's his word.
All right, well,
he's in favor of that if you don't listen.
Much as I hate to interrupt this cheerful conversation, we've got to move on. We have another caller this morning. Van, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there. How about you, buddy?
Enjoying the weather. Carrie made the remark that corporal punishment doesn't work and it actually encourages violence. Did I hear you correctly on that, Carrie?
I didn't say it encourages violence. I said it teaches kids that violence, quote-unquote, solves problems when it doesn't, and it's also just cruel. And there are other modification tools that can be used to change behavior in children. If spanking worked, there would be good children everywhere, and there it didn't change behavior.
Let's look at the history. And, you know, I don't know how old you are.
54.
How old?
54.
Okay, well, you're a youngster. So the deal here is when we went to school, there was corporal punishment. And, you know, we would take in our trucks, we would take our shotguns and our rifles, and we'd have a hunting knife on the seat, shot shells and bullets. And we wouldn't even lock our vehicles. And guys would get in fights. We'd meet at the flagpole, and we'd duke it out, and you'd become friends with the person, or you just settle it there, and it wasn't like you go get a knife or a gun from your vehicle. And that was in the years when there was corporal punishment. And now in these days, I don't know if you watched the news recently, but out in Chicago, which is becoming I wouldn't even want to go into the city at all, but there's teenagers out there that looted buildings, their businesses, you know, destroyed businesses. And recently, there was Marines out there that were kicked and beaten by teenagers. That didn't happen back in the 50s and 60s.
It did, but you didn't hear about it. None of these problems are new. There's been violence since, you know, the Roman times.
Carrie, just stop right there. I understand, yes, there's always been violence, but listen, the extent of it. You're trying to tell me back in the 50s and 60s there was violence like there is today?
I don't know, but there's greater population today, so probably, you know, the I don't know if the ratio, I don't know if the percentages are the same, but I'm just saying there's been violence changes. You know, we have gang. I mean, I would guess that some of that teen stuff and beating those Marines is some kind of initiation. I mean, I don't know who the perpetrators were.
Well, let me go back even further than that. There were a lot of movies in the 1950s about gangs and violence in school and rapes. I mean, it's been here. I agree with Gary on this one, Van. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but if you look at statistics, and she says, I guess, or I think, if I don't know, well, you look at statistics, and I guarantee you, Joe, you know, when you grew up in school, there were not stabbings and shootings and things like that that were going on to the extent it's going on today.
No argument. At least not in my school there weren't. I agree with you on that.
No, but the reality is, nationally, it's almost a daily thing anymore where people are shot and killed. But the reality of it is, you know, if you think corporal punishment doesn't work, what they're doing today absolutely does not work. And I'll tell you this, in our public schools, the teachers, you know, you made the statement and alluded to this, that you wouldn't want to be a teacher today in the public school.
No.
Well, why? Because the kids do not respect the teachers. In these inner cities, I don't even want to go there to visit in an inner city, let alone have to teach those children that live in these inner cities, because they have no respect for adults. They have no respect at all.
But Van, where did you learn to respect adults? Where did you learn to have reverence and respect for adults around you? Where did you learn that?
Well, you're gonna, and I agree with, yes, the parents teach you this, but there was a time when in churches, because years ago the mass majority, and you can look at the percentages of people that attend church today and the people that attended church back in the 50s and 60s. It was much higher then, and we had, this country was known as a Christian nation. And see, therein lies the thing. We had a faith in God, and the true God of the Bible. And there's an understanding in the Bible that corporal punishment is what keeps a child in line. And it's not, you know, making them stand. And you can do all different.
The Bible was interpreted by people thousands of years ago to keep the masses in line. Joe, do we only have religious zealots that listen to the show?
No, but
where am I? Central Pennsylvania, two people calling and hung up on the Bible.
I think there are many people who believe, as Van does and Joseph does, that the biblical approach to discipline, if you will, spare the rod, spoil the child. Somewhere in there's the rule of thumb, how big the stick can be that you beat your wife with. I mean, there's a lot of violence going on in that book. I think you'd agree with that.
It was back in a time when people didn't know as much as they know now. And frankly, it was interpreted. If you read about the history of how the Bible was written, it was to control the masses.
Okay. Well, Van, I think if you have another point, call back after the news break. We'll have to pause right now. I'm Joe McGranahan with Gary Albright this morning. You're listening to On the Mark. Our producer's Lynn Hall. We're going to take a quick break for the news, and we'll be back on WKOK Sunbury.
Still trying to account for everyone after a building collapse in Iowa. CBS's Jim Crisula.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you and welcome back. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. With me today is Carrie Albright. Our producer is Lynn Hall. Our phone number is 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, making certain you put the words OT or letters OTM at the front of your message. That way we will be sure to get it. The Sunbury Motor Company invites you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspection, and nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. And they are located, as I said, at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, 4th Street and North 4th Street in Sunbury, and they are the premier towing service in the area. They sell Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles, and they service all kinds of makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks. They have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, an alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles. And again, a master towing service with decades of experience. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. A quick look at the news headlines. A Middleburg man is facing DUI charges after crashing his motorcycle over the weekend in Snyder County. State police say 49-year-old George Try is facing the charges, pending their investigation of the late Saturday afternoon crash along Route 204 in Jackson Township. Troopers say Try was making a left turn from Midpen Drive onto Route 204. That's when troopers say he overcorrected and crashed the cycle. Troopers suspect Try was driving under the influence of alcohol. They say the passenger on the motorcycle, 52-year-old Kimberly Try of Middleburg, suffered a head injury and was taken to Geisinger Medical Center. A medical update on her condition is not available. The Shikellamie Schools and Sunbury area community are reaching out to help a Valley family who lost their belongings in a fire last weekend. There have been a donation drop-off location set for donors and a GoFundMe page set up to help John and Leslie Steese of Sunbury. Their home was gutted by fire Sunday. Now friends and colleagues of the two Shikellamie staffers have pulled together. John is a teacher at the high school and a coach of the middle and high school boys' soccer teams, and Leslie is a staffer at Oakland Elementary School. We're told numerous individuals have stepped up to help any way they can. The family got the news this week. Their clothing was all lost in the fire, and their pet cat is still missing. Friends tell us two wedding rings were found in the home. And finally in the news this morning, Evangelical Community Hospital's second Ambassador Challenge is in the books with over $181,000 raised for the Evangelical Care Fund. The hospital announced that total in a news release on Tuesday. This year's ambassadors were Michael Brisky of Sealands Grove, Chad Evans of WQKX, and Sabra Carr of Lewisburg. The hospital says Carr was named the Ambassador of the Year after raising $44,000. Each ambassador was presented with a crystal award by Evangelical President and CEO Kendra Ocker. Congratulations to those folks doing one heck of a job for the hospital. And we're back on the program this morning with Carrie Albright as my co-host. We have a text that says, I think schools have too much authority over the kids nowadays, and I don't agree with that. It would appear that schools have the rights to make a decision. And that unfortunately cuts off after 160 characters, so we don't know the end of your thought. If you want to finish it, let us know. And then we have an email from Doug, and Doug's point is this. He says, your guest host today is wrong when talking about spanking your children. If you do it out of anger without explanation, it can be damaging. But when a parent spanks a child out of love, it absolutely teaches a child about respect and obedience. There is a direct correlation between the lack of respect children can show today and the lack of discipline given to that child. When you spank your child out of love, you then explain to them why you did it and why they were wrong. I'm not saying you have to spank your child for them to turn out right, but I have a real problem with people today who call spanking children physical abuse.
Well, first of all, let's back up. I agree with you. There is a direct correlation between the lack of respect and lack of respect and lack of discipline. In fact, it's probably, was it indirect correlation? I giggled when you said I'm wrong. There's a lot of, and I just pulled some good quotes from a therapist who actually, you know, states, agrees with me that obviously that spanking just teaches fear, and in it says basically corporal punishment, spanking, whooping, hitting, beating often promotes more aggressive behavior in the child at home and at school. A child who is punished with spanking is often left with few skills to cope when difficult situations and emotions arise, and they tend to repeat the modeled behavior of the parent by turning to physical aggression to solve problems. So, I will maintain till the day I die that spanking does not, you know, I have spanked my own daughter on occasion when she was young. I'm not proud of it at all, and I would never do it again. And I have two grandchildren. I would never spank because I've learned more and I've grown as a person, and I know that it does not change behavior. I know what does change behavior: positive encouragement, kind words, modeling good behavior. When you are spanking a child and out of love, I don't even know what that means, spanking a child out of love, because certainly teachers don't love every child in their classroom. And if they're you know, be allowed to spank them, what is that called?
Well, I think that
that's just violence.
I think Doug's point was that if you're telling a child, look, you have done wrong, and here's what you've done wrong, and as a result of that, here is the consequence. You're going to be spanked. Now, I'm not doing this because I'm mad at you. I'm doing it because you need to learn from what you did.
From physical violence. Instead of taking away a privilege or removing the child from a classroom or doing other things that the child actually cares about, removing that consequence. When we as adults make mistakes, what happens, Joe? When you're an idiot or a jerk in public, what's going on?
Well, I don't know. I've never been one.
Well, I'll tell you what happens.
You're going to argue with me on that.
You lose friends.
Right.
People
okay.
don't invite you to parties. They alienate you. They talk about you behind your back.
Right.
And that's what privileges and things and opportunities that you may enjoy are taken away from
but
you because you're not
invited.
Those
are things, Carrie, that we learn as adults. I mean, I would know if people that I liked were shunning me or didn't want to have anything to do with me.
We can teach that to children. We can teach that. You can't go to the birthday party. And I've said this. I've canceled birthday parties of my daughter's because she was misbehaving. And I kept to my word. As the other caller said, you have to be consistent in your discipline. But
right.
there are ways to discipline children with things that they actually care about, just like we do. Hitting us doesn't work. If somebody hit you, Joe, it just teaches you that they're a jerk. Now, that's what goes through kids' minds when their parents are hitting them or teachers, that these people are jerks and they're mean and they're violent.
I don't think I ever thought that when my father spanked me, and he did it a couple of times. I mean, I deserved it.
Because you had a father-son relationship
but
with them. It was different.
Looking back to it, I mean, I can recall that the times I was spanked, I deserved it. And it stuck in my mind today that I did something wrong, and I can tell you pretty much what I did wrong and why I got spanked for it.
Well, there's other things that he could have done that would have meant as much to you.
But I didn't do it again. I didn't do it again, Carrie.
Well, that's your story. That's your version
you don't believe
of
me.
That
okay.
history.
Okay, Van, we have two other calls, but we're going to give you the final 30 seconds. Go ahead, sir, or the minute.
Well, the claim that Carrie made that the Bible was written to control the mind is like a foolish statement.
I knew that was going to set you off.
Huh?
I knew that was going to upset you or a caller.
It's just foolish, and if you want to act like a fool, that's your business. But the problem is, the Bible was written. It's God's word to reveal Himself to us that we can get salvation and understand what Christ did for us on the cross when He died there for us. But the problem with people like you, Carrie, is that you look at psychology and different things that oppose the word of God, because God says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I'll take God's word that was practiced. And again, if you want to deny that the 50s and 60s are like worlds apart from today, you can do that. But you're living in la-la land if you think that today correlates in any way with back then. And the population back in 1953 was 180 million people in America. So you can figure it's nearly doubled since then. And I guarantee you, if you look at the crime rates, they have more than doubled, guaranteed. I'd bet my life on it. I'm so sure of that.
Okay. Listen, Van, we've got two
shootings, everything else.
We've got two other callers, so we have to make time for them. Thanks, Van. We gave you another minute, and that's what we promised we would do. Dan, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. You know, going back to the original question on graduation, I graduated a long time ago, and at that time, there was, in my class, put it this way, there were three people that graduated, but they weren't allowed to appear on stage. And at that time, it was, you know, there was consequences for different things, and there were three girls that became with child during that period, and they graduated, but they weren't allowed to be on stage.
Did the fathers graduate? So, I bet they did.
Pardon?
I bet the guys that got him pregnant graduated and walked the stage.
But they weren't in our class, so they were in different grades. So
foreigners.
They were older, so they did. But they graduated a year or two ahead of the girls. So this incident happened then. But, you know, as previous caller said, in that period of time, I was in school in the 50s, and you did not hear of these mass shootings or any of it. Yeah, there was a couple, but not every day like we have now. And at that time, we did have the corporal punishment, which was given to us by our Heavenly Father for discipline. He knows a lot more than I know and you know. So if he did that in Scripture, promoted that in Scripture, he knows more than we do about psychology, because he's a premier psychologist. And I'll go by his word any day over what the humanism we have today is trying to teach us.
Okay, but Dan, don't you think thought evolves over time, that, you know, what we thought at one point the earth was flat and the religious leaders all thought it was flat, and over the period of time people proved that it was round, and it took people time to figure that out. And back in the old days they used to believe that, you know, the bloody smock on a doctor was a sign of great medical ability, and they didn't believe in germs when people tried to tell them about it. But we've evolved. We come to say, okay, maybe initially back in the days of the Bible, if you will, that's all they had, was to whip somebody to modify their behavior. They didn't know anything about psychology or psychiatry. They didn't know about it.
Behavior modification.
God breathed out the Holy Bible. It came from God's own mouth into the pages of Scripture. If he doesn't know,
but that was at that time.
No one else knows. Dan, you talked about the earth being flat. Look up Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It's God inspired the writer, the earth is a circle, is a spear. It was written, this was, you know, hundreds of years B.C.
Okay, but what
he wrote that. And God also wrote the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Do you think God could ever change? Do you think he'd ever change his mind? Or do you think he addressed his messages at that time to the people as they were? Do you think he'd give us the same message today?
Amen. You don't have to change anything when you do it, when he breathed it out right the first time, 100%
okay.
Right. So you don't. Why would you change?
All right, but
anything?
What I'm saying is that there are
the
other schools of thought.
The only thing that changes is civilization.
All right, but Dan,
which isn't always so civil.
We all learn from past mistakes. We all learn from the things we've done that didn't work out right, and so we change our behavior because of that. And I think what we're dealing with here is whether or not schools. I mean, we can argue all day long about whether schools should be allowed to whip someone's rear end and whether or not that modifies their behavior, but the simple fact is there are more alternatives today than there were in the past. And are we not using common sense if we embrace some of them?
Well, it seems to me the alternatives aren't working very well when we have all these school shootings, and America's just turning into a place of violence. The only thing we talk about a lot is trying to take guns away from people. Like, that's really gonna work? It's not gonna work when you have violence.
Here's something we have
all through our society.
Let's carry us a point.
Well, here's something we haven't talked about: the fact that how much society and our access to information has changed since the 50s. You know, there's video games that are violent. There is images all over the internet that are violent. There's daily events that are violent.
Movies are much more violent,
and so we're much more exposed to that. So, normalizing kind of that behavior. So it's just beyond spanking these days. I mean, and personal. Experiencing personal violence right. These days. You see it everywhere. So this changes behavior as well.
Yeah, I watch World War II movies made in the 50s, and people get shot and they never bled.
And you didn't see him really get shot. You heard it. They fell somewhere.
So, yeah. I mean, I think Kerry's got a point there, Dan, that we have become so obsessed with violence. And I don't think that whipping somebody is going to add anything to that, although I honestly don't have any problem with occasionally correcting a child whose maybe repeated bad behavior indicates something more than reason is necessary to deal with them.
Yep, in my whole life, I only got whipped 3 times, once from Dad, once from Mom, and once at school. And that was more than enough. And I greatly respected the teachers. We were in awe of them, like Kerry okay. said, but we were, it was a different time, and you knew consequences were going to be there if you got out of line.
Okay. Hey, listen, Dan, we have to move on. We have to take a break, and we have a caller pending, a couple of emails. We invite you to join the conversation. 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Susquehanna Valley RV.
It's the 40th Open House event this Thursday through Sunday at both locations of Susquehanna RV on Route 522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 Bloomsburg. It's an event you don't want to miss. Talk about selection. 300 new and pre-enjoyed campers available. Trades are welcome. Financing available. Every camper is on sale. You'll find thousands of in-store specials. Save up to 40%. Factory reps are on site. Join Susquehanna RV on Saturday, June 3rd. There's a free petting zoo, bounce house, dunk tank, interactive pylons, vendors, and free refreshments Saturday 9 to 4. Susquehanna RV with 2 convenient locations, Route 522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 between Danville and Bloomsburg. Find them on Facebook. The purchase necessary for drawings must be present to win grand prize.
There's an exciting new world waiting for you at Susquehanna Valley RV. A camper's best friend.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, I'm just off on the potty. Nice. This is supposed to roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. My crib is always stocked.
It's our potty mind.
She's cushioning the place so our chicks feel flat.
So
everybody wanna touch the sky.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, along with Kerry Albright. One of our texters says, Kerry, you're getting negative feedback from the Republicans. Democrats are with you 100%. I didn't realize that corporal punishment was a political issue.
You know what? It's just kindness versus punitive violence, people.
All right, Al, what's your take on this subject? Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, he said the word I got written down. Again.
What?
You just said violence again. You're saying it's physical violence?
When you hit somebody, that's violence.
Okay, you got that backwards.
Well, what do you call it, out of curiosity?
I would call it pain.
Well, that's what that's
when,
the receiver.
Little,
the receiver.
Would you let your people talk?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to lose my train of thought.
Okay.
I thought about this a long time. I've been on the phone. But that physical pain is for the young people. Because they don't understand the ways of the world and everything else. But when your dad says to you, boy, Al, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. He takes you up to the room. He doesn't humiliate you in front of everybody. He says, come on up here. And he sits you down and he says, I'm going to hate to give you this spanking. He says, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But you stole something. And I don't want my kid going around stealing stuff. So I never had to give you a spanking before, but now you're going to get your spanking. And I got a spanking that really hurt, and I was scared, and I was afraid, and I feared my father at that point. But he did it out of love. And then even all that, I only had a few in my life, and I never looked forward to them again when I was young because I didn't want the pain. But then when as I got older, I realized the pain. And then something else happened, and he says, there was a lady next door that really liked me and everything, and I'm going to get another spanking. And he said, how would you like it if I told the lady next door? I won't give you her name because I just remember her last name. But so-and-so, and the embarrassment of having to get another spanking because I did the same thing again. And then she was going to tell the lady that I really, you know, I liked everybody as a kid, but she was special in my neighborhood. And I didn't want her to find out. And that instilled that in me. And then the next step was, if you take stuff, it's going to come back to you. And I've been trusted walking through warehouses, everything else. And I sure could pick up little things. I just won't do it. It was instilled in me. And I fear God, and I feared my own father's punishment when I was little because of the pain. But now, as you get older, you don't want to do that stuff because you don't want to disappoint people in your life. And like earlier caller said about getting away from God, I mean, yeah, it seemed like the times they were ramming it down our throat, but it did me good. It did me good going to Sunday school and being with the other kids and just having that routine.
Al, do you think there was anything your father could have done to reach you other than whipping you?
Thank you, Joe. A more creative approach to behavior modification?
No, because they tried everything else.
Apparently not.
Well, no, I had time out. I had, I had being yelled at and in front of people and not going places. But when you steal something and go that far and all that stuff was for little stuff, it was time I got a spanking. And I got one in school too. And it didn't take much. And one of the guys that we celebrate in this area used to give the best spankings. And they take the paddle to your back end and he'd say, move the tables and chairs back. That I'm going to fly. And it didn't happen again. And you get it for not doing your homework three times in a row, but that I'll tell you what. And I don't want to say his name, but everybody did his homework. And if you didn't, he could wrestle you right down to the ground.
That sounds medieval.
It worked back then. Pete Slack, I'll say his name. Because everybody was, didn't want to swat from Pete Slack. He'd take detention or a swat, it was a different world. And we had kids that would go after a teacher, and the teacher would clean his clock.
Okay, but I still don't think in today's world that that's going to work in the school system. I just don't think it is. I don't think parents would tolerate it.
Because the parents won't tolerate it. You're right. And the parents aren't tolerating. Look what the hell we have.
Okay, those two things are separate. Parents should never tolerate.
It's all in the upbringing. When you're little and learning right from the beginning and fearing God all your life, that's what it's about. And we don't have that anymore. They running around with T-shirts on that said fear nothing.
Well, did your father invoke God's name when he was whipping you?
Well, not really. He just told me it's going to hurt him more than him, and he loves me, and he doesn't really want to do this, but just
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you developed a fear of God from your dad's fanning your rear end.
I'm saying it's the same thing. He's my heavenly father, and I had a father on earth. And I'm saying my heavenly father says it in his book, and his book is perfect.
But he never whipped you.
But he said, go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Don't fear it.
Well, I'm just, you know, I understand the concept.
I don't think God's going to come down and whoop me, Joe.
I understand.
And I don't think Jesus, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But, he gave me a heavenly father, and he's my heavenly father, and he gave me an earthly father. And my father thought it was the right thing to do, and obvious it was, because I always loved him and still will love him.
Well, your father is following a 2,000-year-old text on behavior, childhood behavior.
It's perfect.
That's your opinion. That's where faith comes in. Faith is not fact.
People are just as smart now as they were before. And maybe even smarter than some people.
Okay.
People are just the same 2,000 years ago as they were today. Just as deceitful, just as good, just as bad.
All right, but what started this discussion, and we've kind of gotten away from it, is this school out in Missouri that didn't allow kids to participate in their middle school graduation because they had not followed the rules with respect to behavior.
My granddaughter couldn't go to her graduation because she didn't follow the rules.
Who didn't?
One of my granddaughters.
Oh yeah.
What was her? You don't have to tell me what her behavior was, but was she punished in school?
It doesn't matter. If you break the rule, it doesn't matter if you break Rule 3 or Rule 6. And they both say the punishment is the same. It doesn't matter which rule you broke, but the punishment is you can't go to graduation. So instill that at 13 instead of 33 after you're a life criminal. You know, you're going to miss out if you don't follow the rules and respect people, and it's not violence to get a spanking.
Okay.
Not when the person loves you that is giving you a spanking. It's not physical violence. It's inflicting a little bit of pain for your own good.
Well, when somebody takes down your pants, puts you over their knee, and smacks you with something, it's hard to imagine that they love you, you know, to be honest with you, Al.
That's exactly what happened.
It just sounds like an uncreative approach, somebody who's exhausted and doesn't know what else to do.
What the Father in Heaven told him to do.
No, we didn't. Stop that. Stop that. Stop. That's not true.
Okay, listen, we got to move on, Al. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of On the Mark in just a moment. Give us a call, 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
Today on Hey Culligan, smooth skin and soft hair comes from where? Here's Mike.
Hey Culligan, I've tried every conditioner, lotion, and body wash known to man, and my skin still feels like sandpaper.
It could be your water, Mike.
Oh, that's harsh.
More like hard water. Are you interested in smart high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan Water?
Huh?
Want baby smooth skin and soft, luxurious hair?
Yeah, can you hurry? I have a date tonight.
We're already on the way, Mike. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test from a local Culligan Water expert at Culligan.com.
Call Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania today for all your water treatment needs and set up a free in-home water test with a water professional that knows the water where you live. Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-788-1978. That's 1-800-788-1978. Or visit them online at callculligan.com. That website again is callculligan.com. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new plan.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZI to learn more.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-291-7163. That's 800-291-7163. 800-291-7163. Call now.
Welcome on back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Carrie Albright. We have a couple of texts and a couple of emails. One says, Joe, controlling a classroom of students should be proactive, not reactive. The learning atmosphere of the class can control the majority of any student issues. A classroom that has defined behaviors and protocols that have been taught and reinforced creates the best method for controlling students, allowing the students the opportunity to set class goals, group work, student-designed activities, positive reinforcement and learning to learn from mistakes and makes children feel excited and motivated to learn. There's no time to misbehave. Too many classrooms today have teachers standing in front telling the kids the information in the class books. Then the students sit and complete the worksheets for the rest of the period. Kids come into kindergarten and first grade excited and anxious to learn, and by the end of elementary school, they've been worksheeted to death. They still have 8 more years of the same classroom facing them until graduation. Teaching takes effort and hard work, but a classroom can be a place to learn with minimal student disruption. I am a retired teacher, and my own classroom had a positive learning atmosphere with very few discipline problems. Signed, R.B. from Mifflinburg. Now, do you buy into that, Carrie?
Oh, I do. I think that's great, and probably R.B. was a teacher because, you know, if you keep kids' minds engaged and excited and curious, they are like little eyes locked on you in sponges. And it takes a lot of energy to be that kind of teacher. So, you know, again, I give teachers a great deal of credit. I couldn't do it. It's a lot of effort. And I think that's a great way to describe a class, because then kids know the expectations. Kids love routine. They love to know what to expect. And then if a kid misbehaves, you often find, and I bet this person has seen it, if they're a teacher, that kids will correct other kids' behaviors. Like, hey, don't do that. Or, hey, be quiet. At very young ages, I've seen it happen in small little groups. I used to go in a previous job. I used to go into classrooms, into childcare centers, and read. I've seen kids kind of gently swat another kid on the arm next to them. You know, like, hey, be quiet, not hit, because the kid was being disruptive or something or talking. So you see that if kids know what to expect, they actually help control the dynamic of the classroom.
But that presupposes that all the kids don't have behavioral issues.
No, somebody in a group will always have behavior issues, adults included.
Well, I go back to one of my arguments, and you probably will disagree with me, but I think, you know, when we started putting in kids who have different learning abilities and different capabilities in classrooms with kids who maybe are far much brighter than they are, far more able to produce the volume of work necessary, that the assumption was that the brighter kids would pull the less bright kids up. I don't think it's worked that way.
The teachers have had to
teach to the lowest common denominator instead of the highest common denominator.
Well, there are always classes, like I was in them, where I was advanced placement classes, where you were pulled out for a kind of a higher level rigor. of work that was expected. But I was in classes mostly with all kinds of people. But didn't I see, and somebody would know more, maybe a caller would know more about this, but I feel like in the last 7 or 10 years, that has changed. I feel like we've seen differently abled kids, lower functioning kids in school pulled out in classrooms and maybe even in special teaching environments. Have you heard about that?
Well, there are kids I know in classes reversing. That my grandson has attended where one of the kids had to have a support person with them during the course of the day. So I don't know, but it seems to me that nobody's getting exactly what they need in that system.
Well, here's my other thing, too. A lot of the responsibility is the parents to read to the children at home, absolutely read to your infants on up, to encourage doing homework, work with the kids. But I also know that real life is being around all kinds of people. And if we put kids in a classroom with only a certain kind of people, they're going to... I had a friend, this is a really simplistic way of looking at it. I have a friend who I went to college with who only ever went to school with girls. All her life, she was in Catholic school for girls through high school. So when she got into college with a bunch of boys around, it was a very strange environment for her.
Must have been.
And she was 18 years old when I met her. So she even says, like, this is really weird. I've not ever sat in school with boys in a classroom and raised my hand and answered questions and learned. She said it was very intimidating for a while. So back to my point, if you put children, your grandchildren, good for your grandchildren, because your grandchildren are going to be in school or in life with all different people. And I think it's a really important lesson to learn early on. It makes a kid really well adjusted, you know, kind of conscientious about different people, about feeling fortunate about what you have.
But
and what
you don't have. Is that better or worse than actually educating the kid to the maximum capability that the kid has?
It doesn't matter. I think that part of your education is not academic. I think part of your education is life lessons and learning about people.
You can set up a course for that, but I'm more worried about a kid today in this competitive world we live in. How many schools have you seen stories about? I think Harrisburg High School, the graduation rate is like 43% or some ridiculous low number. You know, we're not turning out kids who can think. We're not turning out kids who have reading, who have good life skills.
Well, good life skills means being around different people and being able to adapt to them. And also...
No, I think it means being able to balance a checkbook and being able to figure out how to...
Well, I agree with that because that's not taught in high school. But, you know, public schools are public schools. They're not supposed to be turning out rocket science and brain surgeons. That's at a different level.
Why not?
Well, because you have to be able to teach everybody. You have to be able to include everybody. And part of that is just... And frankly, Joe, I mean, I don't remember a single thing I learned in high school. I don't remember a book I read. I barely remember college or my master's level. I remember life lessons I learned in some of those environments, but I don't remember the academic stuff. So I think that, you know, school serves a purpose, but it's more than academic. It's about getting along with people and working in groups and sharing. It's all that stuff that's much more important, frankly. And that's why the behavior issues are an issue in that context.
But in life, though, Carrie, there are expectations that you have to meet. If you have a degree in something, people actually expect you to know something about it. And we have dumbed down.
Okay.
We have school districts that have lowered.
How many people have you hired?
Let me finish. They've lowered their qualifications to graduate. That's unacceptable to me. We've said and about minority students, that they can't compete in this level. Well, why? It's the tyranny of low expectations. I think they can compete if they are properly motivated. Every kid can. But the job of education, to me, is to find out what each kid needs and to the best of their ability deliver it. And they can't do that if the teachers are dealing with somebody over here who needs this, another kid over here needs something entirely different, another kid over here needs what this kid needed, but he needs a heck of a lot more of it. All we're doing is we're diluting the teacher's time, and we're taking away from kids what should be an enriching experience and one where they should come out pretty much smarter than they went in.
Well, you're making a broad assumption because there are plenty of successful people that have very little academic higher level training or degrees. The behavior problems are one issue. That's absolutely an issue that affects it. But their life learning is so much more than just learn a book or train. Okay, my question to you: how many people have you hired, Joe, in your life? How many people have you hired?
Oh gosh, I wouldn't know. Many.
I've hired many, many, many people, and you know what? I never looked at where they graduated from. I looked at the training programs they came out of. I worked in New York City in retail, and I looked at Gap and Banana Republic had amazing training programs. So you could have no college degree, but if you were in Gap or Banana Republic and you came into my store where I was a manager hiring, I looked at that.
Well,
it's It's I don't really look at academic training.
When I was hiring a disc jockey or a news person, I will agree with you. I've always said you can't teach talent. You either have talent or you don't have it. But I wouldn't hire a bookkeeper whose height of experience was counting pennies at a bingo game. I would want somebody who had a degree of some sort in accounting before I put them in charge of the books of the corporation.
Well yeah. I think you have a CPA. So,
but, I mean, there are different requirements for different jobs. All I'm saying is that the education a kid gets has to meet the expectations of the place where they eventually are going to be employed. All right, Lance, you're on the mark. Join us this morning.
Yeah, well, the proof in the pudding is the fact that our public schools that have been taught to the tune of the things that your guest today is talking about are an abysmal failure. I mean, isn't that... They really are. I mean, when you're looking at, like you're talking, the graduation rates are just so low, we're not doing something right. And what you're talking about, sparing the rod and all that, well, that was set in place the same time that water freezes at 32 degrees. I mean, this is things that are set in stone in the universe. That's what all I'm trying to say is that we're trying to buck nature herself when we don't do that. I think what it is our sense of right and wrong has gone out the window. Everything is just shades of gray. And I think this would come down to all the problems that we really have, not only with our school, but society in general.
Isn't everything a shade of gray? Lance, isn't everything pretty much a shade of gray? I mean, there are very few absolutes in this world anymore.
Yeah, right. That's the whole thing. That something is right and something is wrong, but we just, dilute the real truth. This whole thing, now, Mark could be just poo-pooing me, but it happened about in the, I'd say, the mid-60s. And I look at little things, like, for instance, there in Northumberland, they're at Mercer's Ice. They had for years. You go in there, you put your money in the little thing, and you take your ice, right? And then they couldn't do it anymore in the mid-60s, simply because the kids that were then were coming online that didn't believe in the old ways. In other words, there was something right and something wrong, and you did something wrong, and you got whacked for it. Nobody got whacked anymore.
Well, who was supposed to get whacked in this ice-stealing racket you talked about?
No, I'm saying is that the kids, up till that time, were getting whacked.
By
so
whom?
You could put your ice out, and nobody would
So in other words, you think that because a kid got spanked at home for something else, that would mean they wouldn't steal ice. Is that your point?
Yeah, the point is they knew what right and wrong was.
Okay, but not every spanking teaches you the difference between right and wrong. Spanking is usually incident-driven. For example, I told you, don't set fire to that cardboard box and throw it off the back porch. You did it, so you get spanked. You know, that teaches you one specific thing maybe about right and wrong, but it doesn't teach you how to live the rest of your life, does it?
Or how to deal with the problem when it comes up again without being spanked. If you do wrong.
Well,
I want to go back to the high school graduation rates. I just looked it up. Back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it was 36%, 41%, 54% graduation rate. Now the average high school graduation rate in the U.S. is 84%.
But they've lowered the standards.
But how do we know that?
Well, because there have been stories about it and covered in the media. That
what media?
The mainstream media.
Because you know what? I can argue that the standards have increased. There wasn't the technology, the demands on the kinds of information we have to know.
I agree. The
now
learning
versus
is a
then.
Lot. What you need to learn is a lot different.
Absolutely. It's different. It's different times. But that high school graduation rate, despite many of your callers saying so, has actually increased.
Yeah. When I was in college studying history, all I had to learn was history to the 1960s.
Right.
Now I have to learn history a lot later
and,
than that.
And from different perspectives.
Right. True.
From different perspectives.
When I went to school, 72 was passing. I think it's 50 now, isn't it?
50 would have failed you. I think that 60 was a D, 70 was a C, 80 was a B, and 90 was an A.
Well, in Northumberland, you'd have a 72 to pass.
Well, they had higher standards, apparently.
Right, and we had about a 97% graduation rate, too.
97%.
They held the kids' feet to the fire.
Well,
and now they don't do that.
Well, whether you like it or not, I understand that. I don't know whether Cary's statistics include parochial schools, but they seem to have higher graduation rates than public schools.
Yeah, I know.
That's all schools, 84%.
Competition. That's why I think that the charter schools would be the way to go.
Well, I'm still going to disagree with you on this. I think you've said earlier that you think our public school system's a mess. I think we have to correct whatever mess there may be in the public school system, because free public education is what made this country great, and it's what will continue to make us great. And if we have bad public schools, we need to correct them. We need to give them what they need to succeed, not send kids out to some other place who eventually will wind up failing anyway.
And also, not all public schools are bad.
No, not
there
all are. There
are mostly good things going on in our public schools.
I know my grandsons are at my son was at Sealands Grove. My grandsons are at Sealands Grove. They're excellent teachers there. Mm-hmm. They do their jobs. They know their work, and they're good people. Mm-hmm. And I assume that's the same at Shikellamy and Mifflinburg and the other school districts mm-hmm. around here.
Well, you and I both know a lot of teachers, and they're really good people.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll give you the last word.
Well, I don't think that we ought to pour more money down another government rot hole.
Okay, that's a good last word. We have a call pending, and we have to take our final break of the day. We'll do that, and let's see. Shirley, stand by. You are on the mark next.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Improve visibility in your vehicle and save $10 on a pair of TricoForce wiper blades now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't risk your safety because of bad wiper blades. Be ready for any weather. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Visit your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Gain presents a tale of longing and long-lasting scent. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain flings. Add Gain scent beads for an even longer-lasting scent.
Turn your home into restricted airspace. Tell incoming flights you want them diverted. The new Raid Essentials light trap plugs into the wall and uses light to attract, then trap, flying insects like fruit flies and mosquitoes. Its 24/7 continuous attraction provides insecticide-free protection that's people and pet-friendly. Consider air service interrupted. New Raid Essentials light trap. Insecticide-free protection.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ray Dininger, how long did it take you to write that speech and practice it before you delivered it in Canton?
You look to your left, and there's Roger Staubach and Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus, and they're all sitting on chairs looking at you and then giving the speech for the guy who is your boyhood idol. It's one of the few times in my life that I can honestly say I felt my knees shaking.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Kenny Albert of TNT on the Stanley Cup Final today, 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Okay, welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Carrie Albright. Lynn Hall's our producer, and Shirley from Sunbury is on the mark. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I love that lady that you have on as your guest this morning, your co guest. I agree with her 100% and everything she has said today.
Thank you, Shirley.
Yes. I want to tell you, back when I was raised, born and raised in the country, and we went to a school that had 8 grades in one schoolroom. Well, then came the war. My mother, my father died when I was 7. My mother got a chance to come to Sunbury to work at Westinghouse. So that brought me into Sunbury to go to school in Sunbury. I was in the 6th grade. I'll never forget a teacher. There was a boy in our class. He was hard to learn. Remember cursive writing, where you had to do the O's and the ups and downs to learn your cursive writing back in those days? Well, anyhow, he had a hard time doing that. The teacher took his hand, and she had a ruler. She beat his hand so bad, it was so red, and I felt so sorry for that boy. Now, do you think that was the right thing to do? There's other ways to discipline a child.
Well, the question would be, the question
later on in my life, I had a daughter that it was hard for her to learn too. And she went to school, and it was, I don't know what subject they were learning that day, but it was hard for her to grasp whatever the teacher was trying to teach. And she took her book and she threw it. Well, that teacher she took the paper can and went around and dumped all the paper all over the floor, and she made her get up and go around and pick up the paper. Now, that to me, too, she embarrassed
absolutely
that child in front of all of her students. So it got back to me that in that time they could come home for lunch, and my son told me what had happened. I took the child back to that teacher, and I said there was a better ways to discipline her. You didn't have to embarrass her in front of all those children. I said, you could have sent a note home with me and told me what happened, and we could have addressed the situation. Now, that's another thing that happened. Then there's only one other thing. My daughter, my oldest daughter, came graduation day, and they had practice for graduation day, which I didn't know she was supposed to attend at. Instead of attending, she had a part-time job while going to school. She was a waitress, and she went to that job to earn money because she wanted to go to college. Well, they wouldn't let her. It came graduation time. They put her in the last person in line to get her diploma. And that was embarrassing for her, too. She was an honor student all through her senior year.
Shirley, I'm sorry. We're out of time on the program. If you want to talk about more, finish your story, call back tomorrow. Carrie Albright, thank you so much for coming in. We really had fun talking to you today.
Thank you, Joe.
Lynn Hall, thank you for producing, as always. And we invite you to join us again for On the Mark tomorrow when Mark Lawrence makes his triumphant return from a couple of days off. This is WKOK, Sunbury, Pennsylvania.